This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
One, two, three! One, two, three!
Is back.
Getting reacquainted with old friends.
Uncle George, the reason I'm back home, my father, he's gone missing.
One, two, three.
He wrote me. The place he wants me to go is in Lovecraft country.
This place.
One, two, three.
It's dangerous.
Hello, everyone. This is Popcorn Culture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. And we also have, of course, Sharmila Ganesan and Arvind Yuvaraj. And today it is Wednesday, which means that we are reviewing something new or new-ish. And we're talking about Lovecraft Country, which is a show that even as we speak is still ongoing. I think its seventh episode was just released this week. And yeah, it's on HBO at the moment.
Don't let HBO scare you off, because
not everyone is Arvind, to be fair.
That's true. So we have to convince Arvind into this, but I think now he's firmly on board. Mm-hmm. But Lovecraft Country is an interesting creature because it's based on a novel that's based on a writer.
A body of work,
yeah. So the name Lovecraft should tell you that it's based on H.P. Lovecraft's horror mythos, but the book itself, Lovecraft Country, is by Matt Ruff, who is an African-American writer who kind of contends with H.P. Lovecraft's, frankly, racist legacy and kind of reimagines his creatures, the horror mythology, into Jim Crow America. So there's a lot going on there. And I think it's actually been translated in very, very interesting ways into a TV show.
Yeah. So because of all those like important themes, and they are important themes that the show is talking about, I suspected before I knew what it was 100% that it was going to be a prestige project for HBO that used monsters in someone's dream or someone's like weird imagination, or they weren't actually there and stuff. I won't spoil anything, but Lovecraft Country works in the best possible way where you think it's about something very serious and something very non-sci-fi, and then it becomes sci-fi very fast. And almost like, you know, it just hits you with monsters and the creatures and all the stuff that you would expect from something with the Lovecraft title is in this show. And that just made me like very, very happy.
So you're introduced to Atticus or Tick, who is your main character, very well, purportedly your main character. The show kind of shifts around, but you're introduced to him very early on. And the show as a whole sprawls between different characters within Tick's circle in many ways. You know, you have his father, you have Letty, who's a friend of his, who becomes maybe something more. You have his extended family, but you are introduced to him early on, returning to a place he doesn't want to return to. And you are introduced to him reading a book. And I think that that is so, so important, because that lets you know immediately what kind of show this is. Because like you said, Arvind, when somebody's reading a book, it could be, I don't know, philosophy, and then you know, mm-hmm. okay, this character is a certain kind of character. But Tick reads pulp novels, and the whole show functions exactly like a pulp book. You shift from adventure to adventure. There are episodes that seem like Indiana Jones adventures. Mm-hmm. There are others that are cut straight out of horror pulp. And it has that same sensibility where it's very fun. It's kind of OTT, but it also has stuff that is very very deep and serious. And that kind of creeps in from time to time, but mostly it's just a lot of fun.
And I think having now watched about three quarters of the way into the series, I get a sense of what they're trying to do. And I think it's actually really quite brilliant. They historically, the genre of pulp and pulp horror has been very exclusionary. It's largely been about white people and their adventures. And when non-white people showed up, it was always about them either being supplementary characters or frankly just the bad guys. So what this does is kind of contend with that legacy by centering African-Americans and sometimes people of other ethnicities as well as the central point of these stories, but in a way that doesn't ignore that racism still exists. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing is kind of wrapped up in this idea of Tick's uncle whose job is to create this travel guide called the Negro's Guide to Travel. And that states that Black people living at that era in the US can travel to safely, i.e. without the fear of being lynched. Mm-hmm. And so that in itself is quite a terrifying premise. So I feel like the whole show is kind of using these genres in such interesting ways. And whether you're interested in the history or not, there's just so much going on in every episode that you're never not entertained.
Yeah, and they explore like different kinds of horror. Like even within the pilot, it's like there can be creature horror, but it also can be like you said, there is racism, you know, how people were, certain people were oppressed, and that is its own kind of horror and its own kind of, you know, how frightened they are of these things when traveling, right? But I also love how the OTT-ness, how they take it to 11. It's like reading books like Goosebumps or Fear Street. It doesn't shy away from the fact that it completely leans into the Lovecraftness of it while also doing a commentary on the Lovecraftness of it. So it's very smart in a lot of ways. It has a lot of messages that it wants to get into, and it gets into them slowly, methodically, and very carefully also. So it doesn't rush, but if you are just there to watch a creature feature, this is it.
Yeah, so actually, I was thinking when I said earlier that it was fun, I mean that it is a very fun show. Like you guys have both said, you know, it's really aiming to entertain. But I also don't want to detract from the fact that there is a lot of pain here. Yeah. There's a lot of pain to do with childhood trauma and violence, racial violence or racial discrimination. And the pain is very deep-seated and deep-rooted. Characters will spend time talking about that. You are going to see acts of violence and aggression on screen. And I think that, and I don't want to downplay that, but I think that what that does is also that it uses that to create moments of catharsis for characters, right? It's almost like it's saying the real monsters are the people. Mm. And so the way that you see that whip round later on in moments, third act moments, I suppose, the time when you see the heroes triumph, I think that is built for catharsis in many ways, and especially because of where we find ourselves at the moment.
And I think that a good way to think about this is, you mentioned books, Lynn, and that we see Tick when we first introduced him, he's reading, but so much about the series is so bookish, and not in a bad way. Characters are named after characters in books, Hippolyta, Atticus. Mm-hmm. Even the way stories are presented, because in books, you can have top layer horror, second layer pain, third layer societal impact. And mm-hmm. the show does that. And it even foregrounds books in the plot. So there are parts where people sort of refer to books for clues or, Count of Monte Cristo becomes a sort of turning point in one particular episode.
And Dracula.
Yeah. So there are all of these great little nuggets that kind of signpost for you that the show, while fun, is not going to be just fun. It is intent on being deeper. And the way that it does it, the fact that it doesn't lose its entertainment value, that at some points you're actually just cringing or, you know, trying not to squirm and look away from the screen, I think it's a really, that's what makes it a great show.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to say that Jordan Peele and J.J. Abrams are executive producers on the show. I don't know what that means, and I don't know how much input they have, but it does the very Jordan Peele thing, like you said, of showing you different layers of that same story. Like, it is like reading a book. And also the thing where maybe the people are the actual monsters in this show, even though they are actual monsters in this show. It is a very Jordan Peele thing. But at the same time, the chemistry between the characters, the way they interact with each other, the people building is a very J.J. Abrams thing. For better or worse, there are a lot of mysteries that is also a very J.J. Abrams thing. So you get the best of both worlds, but I will also be slightly careful moving on with the show because of those two worlds. I don't know how the conclusion will be, but I think it is important to say that both these people are working on this show.
It's funny because we just spoke about Damon Lindelof last week.
Yes.
And so I do think that the Lindelof-Abrams partnership and, well, Lost, basically, has left a lot of us with a lot of baggage when it comes to how long we want their shows to be. Mm. But I think so far, Lovecraft Country is new. It's just 7 episodes in. And I think we're all broadly in agreement that it's kind of great. We are going to come back after this to talk a little bit more about the show itself, the performances, how it looks. If you are currently watching Lovecraft and you would like to weigh in, WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
What's that book you've been reading about?
It's about heroes who get to go on adventures, defeat the monsters, and save the day. Little boy from the south side of Chicago, the only tourist to get to do that.
This story is about my father.
And the secret birthright that's been kept from us.
You going after it. We're going to need the car.
Who's going to stand there, Tick?
This is family business. Can family stay together?
Bad for my health, scared for myself.
Just because they don't want you here doesn't mean you're not supposed to be.
I gotta get away.
Hello, everyone. This is Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And together today, we are reviewing Lovecraft Country, which is available on HBO. And as we said earlier, tells the story of, I don't know, one family and its mysteries and how it intersects with another family and its magic, I think is one way of putting it.
That's beautifully put.
It's one way. There's a lot else that could be said. So I think earlier, before we left off, we touched on the chemistry between the characters. And I think the performances are so, so great. I believe every single one of them. I like the way... I think that when characters are angry, and that happens a lot, I really believe it and I feel genuinely fearful. But I also appreciate the fact that everyone is so smart, you guys. I am so grateful for a show that is ostensibly about horror, to do with horror, that has a whole cast of smart people making good decisions. I love it.
I'm just whispering like Jordan Peele.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get what you mean. And I love that these people are such well-written characters. They feel like they have lives that exist outside of the show. And they're played by such good actors. So Jonathan Majors is Atticus. His uncle is Courtney B. Vance. I love him. I feel like we need to see much more of him on the show. But then there's also Journey Smollett, who plays Letitia. There's Michael K. Williams. There's Wunmi Mosaku. And Abby Lee Kershaw, I think, in a role that I don't want to talk too much about, but is really quite fascinating. But I think what I love about the show is how, and the reason I feel compelled to read out so many names is because while the show starts off as the story of Atticus, as you go along, you actually realize that each of these characters have such important parts to play. And often they have like whole episodes dedicated to story arcs that happen to them. And sometimes I'm so fascinated by what happens to each of those characters, and the strength of that performance is so strong that I find myself forgetting that there's a larger story.
Yeah, and I love that because it gives, like you said, it gives everyone their own segment and their own space to play in. And I think that goes back to, you know, how important each character is to the show. Then also, In a big way, I love how long the show is. It gives it like a full 55 minutes per episode. Normally, when that happens for a lot of other shows, I feel like it's a bit too long. Like, I'm like, you could have ended at like 40 minutes at most. With Lovecraft, I always feel like it's too short. Like, I could easily do with an extra 30 minutes. Like, I could just keep watching and I want to see where the mythology goes and where the mystery goes and who's going to show up. That is how good the show is at filling up its time with stories about people. And it does it really, really well.
And I think it's becoming quite clear from how we're talking that if you are a scaredy cat, you can still watch this show. It is not that scary. I think that when you say H.P. Lovecraft, and that evokes certain ideas of horror, and H.P. Lovecraft really is very, very scary stuff. Like, that is nightmare stuff. Mm. And this show is more grounded. There are creatures, there are scary things lurking around corners. But I think what's really frightening is, all that stuff we were talking about earlier about trauma, about how people deal with that. And so if you are somebody who kind of veers away from out-and-out horror, this is not that.
No, 7 episodes in, other than one very disturbing, just viscerally unbearable scene, the scariest thing that I remember is actually a white sheriff chasing them down. So I feel like that's actually the point the show is trying to make, that whatever fears we try to imagine, just human action can actually be much scarier. And I think the show makes that point well, because the horror of the show is never really just horror that we can't explain. A lot of it is tied to human actions, people choosing to be awful or cruel or evil to each other.
And also, when the show shifts from episode to episode, so it has like a common story. There is a backbone story, but a lot of the episodes will sort of go off on like different branches and different tangents to other characters' tales and stuff, different kinds of mythology. Most times when shows do that, like The Walking Dead, for example, when they are telling me a story but someone that I'm not so concerned about that isn't the main group, I always get annoyed. I'm like, you just wasted a whole other week, especially because you can't binge on this series. It's like, it's a weekly thing. They drop a new episode every Sunday night, so Monday for us. But in Lovecraft, every time they do that, I find myself more interested in the side stuff and the branching out. And I'm like, oh, this is interesting. I'd like to know more. And then the third week, they'll come back a bit and branch out again. And I'll be like, oh, that's also interesting. I'd like to know more about that. And I find myself, I am still concerned about the main story, but I'm also very interested in all the other things that they are trying to tell me, which rarely happens with most shows, because most shows, I want them to stick to the backbone.
I completely agree. I think it's such a good sign that you can spend entire episodes away from who you think, again, are the main characters, focusing on, for example, even new characters, people that you've never met before. They get introduced and you're like, oh, I love this, and I could stay in this episode forever, and I'm not super worried at the moment about what's happening on the south side, you know, about what's going on back in that space. And so, yeah, I completely agree. I also just wanted to throw in the fact that I think the show looks so good. That is somewhat superficial, but it is just an incredibly good-looking show. The production, the sets, the clothes people are wearing, all of it is so... I think it contributes, because with TV, you sit with them for hours and hours. Mm-hmm. You have to want to return. And I think that all that is a contributing factor to wanting to come back.
So I love that you said, I want to stay in an episode forever. And I think that's actually a significant thing, because each episode changes the way it looks and feels depending on what sort of pulp genre it might be playing with. So they have one episode that's sort of the bottle horror house genre. They have another one that's kind of a Indiana Jones style quest. They have all of these variations, and each one feels and looks different. The characters are your through line, but often you do feel like you want this. It's a world. They're creating these different worlds that center people of color within them in such a strong way. And it feels so different and so refreshing. And I agree when you say that you do want to stay in that world, because each world feels too small almost.
And also the music. Like, the music plays such a huge part in creating those different worlds. And I love the soundtrack. The soundtrack, so it is a period piece, quote unquote, you know, it is a period piece. But the music isn't old. Like, you'd hear music that was...
They jump through all sorts of eras, yeah.
Yeah, you hear something that was released like 6 months ago. And I'm like, that's a very interesting choice. Normally, that would be super tacky. Like, you'd be like, why are you not following the era that it's in? But with Lovecraft, again, it's very smartly done. And I don't mind, because it goes, it sort of creates specific beats for specific episodes depending on who the episode is focusing on. And I think that's just like, that's amazing writing.
So in conclusion then, and as we wait for the show to actually finish off, so as we've been saying, it is quite a number of episodes in. The total of this season that they're expecting is 10. So it's relatively self-contained. What are we hoping for what comes next?
My fear is that they will not sufficiently deal with the large arc. I'm very happy with the episode by episode different adventure, but this isn't an anthology. It is a larger storyline. And my fear is that I will be disappointed by the end, but I'm keeping my fingers crossed that I won't be.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to the J.J. Abrams thing. I don't know how much she's involved in this show, and it's very frightening, because I don't mind cliffhangers. I don't mind if this show is going to go on for 3 seasons, 4 seasons, 5 seasons. But unlike Star Wars that he worked on, I want them to have an idea of where the show is going, because don't open too many mystery boxes if you don't know what those mystery boxes are. So I'm really afraid of that. I want them to have an endpoint. I want them to have an idea of where they're going to finish. And then tell us that story, you know, working backwards. And I don't know if that's the case. But I hope by the end of the season, there is some sort of cliffhanger that gives me a clue as to what season two is going to be.
I'm going to be optimistic. It's based on a book, like we said, by Matt Ruff. And so I think that there is enough of a roadmap. And also, we've been saying J.J. Abrams a lot, but actually it's also, it's not actually been adapted by him, right? It's been adapted by...
The showrunner is Misha Green.
Exactly. Yes. So I think that they have given us enough for us to give the benefit of doubt / faith that they are going to finish as strongly as they began. I think it's also worth saying that not all episodes have been completely even. I think some episodes have fared better than others, but the overall quality is such that I'm hopeful. I don't know if I'm alone in this, but I am
hopeful. No, I'm definitely hopeful. Even if the overall arc is kind of meh, I'm still on board just because of how great each episode is.
I'll give it 3 seasons. For sure. Then I'll decide.
I see. So you're not that scared about the J.J. Abrams
factor. I'm not that
scared,
but I'm 3 seasons scared.
That is fair enough. All right. So we've been talking today about Lovecraft Country. If you are watching it, planning to watch it, have thoughts on it, share them. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. You can, of course, also write to us at movies@bfm.my and reach us at BFM Popcorn on both Twitter and Instagram. This is Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.